Welcome, everyone. My name is Kelly Munn, and I'm with the League of Education Voters. Many of you know us as LEV. Welcome to our online webinar series, Lunchtime Levinars. Each week of the legislative session, the League of Education Voters hosts free, interactive webinars on important and timely issues. For 2014, we have adapted our online webinars to focus on Washington State's legislative session. This is the third in our lunchtime legislative webinar series. The session moves really fast, and this is a short session, so it's going even faster. You could spend hours of your time researching and reading about Washington's top education priorities. Let us, the League of Education Voters, make it easier for you. Each week, LEV is inviting a legislator to present, giving policymakers the opportunity to share their most pressing issues, and giving you the chance to ask your most pressing questions. So tune in once a week, 30 minutes, your legislators and your issues. The 2014 legislative session is a short session. The session convened on January 13th and closes on March 14th. Stay tuned each week for important updates on where you can find information on upcoming education committee hearings. We'll also bring you updates on opportunities to learn to join LEV and other advocacy organizations on trips to Olympia and opportunities to testify or visit with legislators. Stay tuned each week. You don't want to miss out. Visit our webpage at www.educationvoters.org in order to view the full list of past and future webinars. You can also view LEV's 2014 current legislative priorities. So, before we give the floor to our presenter, here are a few quick reminders. You'll notice we have a chat function on the left-hand side of the webinar. This is a space for you to pose questions to the presenters, which we strongly encourage. Please remember to be respectful, as all of this information is public and will be archived for later access on our website. We will also be live tweeting each webinar using the hashtag WAEDU, hashtag LEVinar, and hashtag WALEG. Follow these hashtags or at EdVoters on Twitter to join the conversation. Today's presenter is Senator Steve Lissau. I am particularly honored to be able to introduce Steve Lissau, as he's my local senator, and he has done incredibly good work for our community. To give you a brief overview of him, Senator Lissau is a longtime resident of Mercer Island, where he was twice elected to the city council before being chosen in 2010 to represent Washington's 41st legislative district in the state Senate. Lissau serves as chairman of the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee, and while in the legislature, has spearheaded efforts to transform failing schools, increase education funding, and create the new teacher and principal evaluation system. Senator Lissau has more than 30 years of business experience as a marketing and technology executive and consultant. Lissau is active in the community and serves on boards for Thrive by Five, an early learning group, the Puget Sound Partnership, a broad coalition working to restore Puget Sound, and a variety of other education, environment, and transportation groups. You can follow Senator Steve Lissau on Twitter at Steve Lissau. Again, I'm going to say at Steve Lissau. Please help me extend a warm welcome to Senator Lissau. And Senator, you may proceed.
Hi, Kelly. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Thank you for that very nice and kind introduction. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Is the sound working for everybody here? Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, great. So what I wanted to do was take a moment here and just kind of give you a brief overview of how we're looking at education, what you know, where we sit and some of the priorities for this coming year. As Kelly mentioned, I'm chairman of the Early Learning and K-12 Committee in the Senate. And more importantly, I am the father of four children, three of which are in high school right now. So I am living this as well as trying to figure out what can we do to make sure that we're educating all 1 million children here in the state of Washington. So what I'm going to do, we're going to go through. So we walked through my background. What I wanted to do was start with, take the step back of what it is we're trying to do here, right? And for all those who've been following education and been in the education world for a while, the key driver in all of this is we're trying to create and help educate children that can be part of a democracy as well as a global economy. And one of the key drivers here is all the research, and you talk to people such as Microsoft and Boeing and Amazon and Costco and all the companies in our state but around the country of what are they going to need in a worker in the future. And right now we know that 67% of the jobs, particularly in the state of Washington, are going to require some post-secondary education, right? Our current system right now works for some children. We have a 77% graduation rate, which basically means we're failing one out of every four kids. And if you look at that in more detail, right, as you can see, here's your four-year high school graduation. If you're a Caucasian or white child, the system is working for you. If you are Pacific Islander, if you are black, if you are Hispanic or Native American, your chances of graduating are one or two out of every three. And then if you're Asian, American Indian, you can see here it's one out of every two. That is the single biggest problem that we're having, and it's been going on for 20 years. We are currently one of a handful of states where this opportunity gap, the difference between if you're Asian or white child versus African American, Hispanic, Native American, that gap in graduation rate and third grade reading, that's growing. And that gap is what I'm personally focused on, because I think, quite frankly, it is ethically and morally an obligation for us as a state to make sure that every child gets the education and can graduate with a meaningful degree. One of the things and one of our problems has been, and I'm sure, and we'll get into McCleary in a moment, but what this shows you is over the last 30 years, we as a state and a state legislature have prioritized non-education spending. And what you see here is the growth in spending in non-education versus that in education. And education, and this thing includes everything from early learning through higher ed, and we still have been behind. And that's one of the issues. And one of the reasons I believe the Supreme Court has stepped in and said we are not fulfilling our paramount responsibility. And that is we're one of the few states in the country in which our Constitution says it is the paramount responsibility, the number one priority of the state legislature to amply provide for all children. And we've now created a system that we quite frankly, if you are a poor child of color, the system is not working for you. One of the things we did last year, a good first start, though not by any means complete, was we put $1 billion into education, an additional $1 billion, the single largest increase in funding in the last 10 years. And importantly, what we did was we changed, you saw for the first time, the percentage increase in education was greater than the percentage increase in non-education. And so reprioritizing where we're spending the money was a huge, huge work that we did last year and on both sides of the aisle, right? And a lot of the work, and you saw a number of policy bills come out, and a lot of this money was targeted towards closing that opportunity gap, and particularly around schools that were underperforming and early learning and LAP programs for the learning assistant program targeted towards those schools and those children in particular that need that extra help. As we're going forward, we've got a number of issues, and in 2014, continue to work through how do we continue to make progress and provide for all children. We will not be dealing this year in the fund with funding in McCleary, and I'm going to touch back on that in a minute. Right now, we're working on a number of issues. One is work to fix the TPEP, or the what's known as the No Child Left Behind waiver. The federal government has come in and said we will lose about $40 million in Title I money if we do not mandate that the teacher evaluation system has student learning in it. As all of you, I'm sure, know, the teacher evaluation system has 8 components. What we agreed in a bill we passed out 2 years ago was that 3 of those 8 components would have student achievement data in them as part of the evaluation. We literally said we at that time said that they may use it, but not, they don't have to use it. The federal government has come back and said that we must use it in 3 of those 8. There's a number of bills, both on both Republicans and Democrats, that have come out. We've moved ours out of the Senate committee. We'll be hearing that next week. There's a similar one moving in the House that will make that a mandatory requirement. There's a big bill that I'm working on with Representative Ruth Kagi and Ross Hunter for early learning. I've become a tremendous believer in quality early learning and its impact both on the child short term and, quite frankly, on their ability to graduate long term. And what this bill is doing is setting up a quality system and raising the quality of early learning for all children. Tremendous amount of research. We were at the Gates Foundation recently that has come back and said the key to early learning is quality education, is the quality of that early learning and that interaction. So this bill takes a number of steps to improve the quality in our current early learning system, as well as braid the various funding streams, both from the federal and the state government, together so that it's easier for the child and their family to get the early learning. You know, what has become very interesting is as you look at kids as they enter kindergarten, and if you are from a middle-class white family, your vocabulary is 3 to 4 times that if you're coming out of a poor community of color family. And quite frankly, the system is not designed to help those kids catch up. And one of the reasons this opportunity gap continues to persist is we're not getting all the kids, as they walk into kindergarten, ready to learn. And this bill will be the first start in making that happen. And Ruth Kagi has done a just phenomenal job in early learning. What I wanted to do is touch quickly here on McCleary. Everybody, I believe, is familiar if you're paying attention to the education system. The Supreme Court came down with what was called the McCleary decision, which essentially said that the state government is not living up to its constitutional responsibility, of which education is the paramount responsibility of the state for all children. We made a series of efforts last year, as I mentioned, with $1 billion into the system, as well as a series of reforms. They have recently come back and said, yep, good first step, but we don't think you're going fast enough. They've asked for a plan by April 30th. We will come back with that plan. Obviously, the Supreme Court knows that we cannot bind future legislatures, but we will be working on a plan over the next couple months to present. And where this is really driving to is in 2015, we run on a 2-year budget cycle. We will have to make another substantial step towards not only funding a system, but changing the system and improving it in such a way that it literally educates all children. And so as you're looking here, we are working through, as I mentioned, early learning. There's a great bill by Senator Andy Billig on the summer slide and doing the extended learning there. And there's a lot of work going on right now on how to fund the non-education pieces. Because as you look at this, and my understanding of paramount responsibility means that it is literally the first responsibility. The Senate, the state, works on a two-year budget, approximately $33 billion. We can fund any education system within that $33 billion. We will argue what that system should be, but what we can't do is fund an education system as well as all the other services the state provides. So there's a couple of efforts going on right now of what is the appropriate funding level and to what programs so that we are actually closing an opportunity gap and that all children are succeeding, as well as what are we going to do to fund the non-education area? Because I am a firm believer that if the child comes hungry or homeless or sick to school, it does not matter the quality of the teacher, the size of the classroom, the technology in the classroom, they simply will not be able to learn. So we are looking at this from a holistic point of view with the Supreme Court basically saying you've got to take your current funding and put that into an based on how you define education to make sure you're funding that, as well as we, I believe, have an obligation to figure out how we're going to fund the non-education issues. And so with that, I will open it up to questions. And Kelly, I'll let you guide us here on how we want to
do. So if you have a question, please type it in the chat section of on the left of your screen, and we will answer your questions. I'll screen them and answer your questions. I will pose a question while we're waiting for a question to come in. And that is, Steve, you briefly mentioned the Andy Billig extended learning bill. Are there other bills that you think are of note and are of interest to you that are coming down the pike that people should be taking notice of?
So I mentioned we have the TPEP, we have the early learning, we have Senator Billig's summer bill. There is there's a couple of very interesting bills. One continues to work on discipline. And as I know, most of you are probably paying attention, that's also become a big issue for Secretary Arne Duncan. We passed some legislation last year on who's being disciplined. We've stopped open-ended expulsions because, quite frankly, if the child is not in school, they simply can't learn. So there's some bills coming out on that. We're doing a lot of work around paraeducators and how do we provide a career path and quality standards for paraeducators. Paraeducators are those adults in the classroom, which quite frankly right now are dealing with about 58% of our students are interacting with those paraeducators. And primarily they are English language learners in LAP. So a lot of what we're trying to do to figure out how to make these kids more successful are working with paraeducators. And there's a number of bills there that are recognizing their tremendous contribution to the system, as well as providing a career path and quality standards for that.
So we have a question on, is there any legislation around helping homeless children graduate?
Yes, there is, and I believe Senator Frocht has introduced that bill. We're hearing it next week. Again, this is another one, and David Frocht has done some excellent work in how a number of children, homeless being an example here, are just kind of getting lost and left out of the system. And so he's put together a very nice bill that we will be moving out of the committee next week on helping making sure the homeless children are accounted for and services are provided to make sure that they are getting the education as well.
We have another question that says, that asks, non-education funding demands must be as big or bigger than the education funding required. Where will all this money come from?
That is the million-dollar question. Actually, that's about a $5 billion question. And that's what we're working through right now. So if you assume for a moment you got roughly $33 billion, we put in roughly $15 billion, $16 billion into the K-12 system now. My estimate is that's probably going to have to be between $18-19 billion when we're all said and done over the next couple of years. So we've got to find, so that leaves you with roughly $13-14 billion for non-education funding. There's probably another $2-3 billion there from non-education funding. We have a big problem, to be quite frank, right? Simply because we've tried an income tax that's lost four times in the last 12 years, and by huge margins. We are looking at a number of different, you know, you're looking at growth, you're looking at a number of different ways to maintain the current system without expanding it. There are a number of other tax proposals that are on the ground, but very few, quite frankly, you know, we talk tax loopholes. They don't get to the level of money needed to maintain those, or to maintain those programs in the non-education field. So that is, you know, one of the issues with the McCleary decision is, yes, we can easily figure out how to spend, where the money comes from to fund education. We're going to disagree about where it goes, and we can work our way through that. But what nobody's been able to figure out is how do you fund the non-education pieces. The general public right now is not really enamored with raising taxes. As many of you know, we've been working on a transportation package, which is a 12-cent tax increase on gasoline, and people are very unhappy. It is not supported by a majority of people, and that's a 10-cent gas tax for transportation. So that is one of the issues we are going to have to work our way through over the next couple of years because, again, as I mentioned, without a lot, particularly around the services for children and particularly in the poorer districts of our state, if they don't come to school ready to learn, it doesn't matter the amount of money we're pouring into the system or how that system is structured. So it is. I do not have an answer for you right now.
Senator, thank you so much. This was really an outstanding presentation. I want to tell the listeners, don't forget that if you've missed part of the presentation or would like to download the slides, they're available on our website at educationvoters.org. I'm closing out the presentation portion, and because we're an advocacy organization, we always ask people to speak up and take action. So I'm going to invite you at the close of this webinar to take action. This week we invite our listeners to go online and sign our Excellent Schools Now, ESN, petition on the College and Career Ready Diploma. Right now, only 4 in 10 graduating seniors meet the basic admission requirements to get into a public university in Washington. As a state that prides itself on our innovative, entrepreneurial, and intellectual spirit, we need to be sure that all of our kids are ready for college and career. So go to excellentschoolsnow.org to learn more, and that will be coming up on our chat with a link to get there. Again, it's excellentschoolsnow.org to learn more and sign the petition. Also, we have another really outstanding opportunity for you. This is a free event this Saturday, January 25th. We are putting on our 4th annual LEV activist training called Access, Equity, and Excellence. It's from 9 to 4. It's at the Puget Sound Education Service District at 800 Oaksdale Avenue, Southwest Renton. All of this is located, again, on the educationvoters.org website, our website. Just to tease you, some of the workshops are Alternatives to Punitive Discipline, Universal Pre-K, College and Career Ready Diplomas, Equity in Education Funding, and DREAM Act. We have a whole lot. You get to meet people, you get to talk to people, you get to learn a lot, free lunch, hear great presentations. This will be a powerful day of training. You won't want to miss out. You can, you'll see this come up on our chat also, how you can register for the training, but you can simply go to educationvoters.org. We will be doing this webinar again next Thursday, January 30th, with Representative Ruth Kagi, Chair of the Early Learning and Human Services Committee. Come prepared with questions for Representative Kagi. Until then, what's your most pressing concern this legislative session about education in Washington State? Join this conversation on Twitter. Hashtag WaLeg, hashtag WaEdu, hashtag Levinar. Get ready, set, and tweet with us. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.